Be finding your place, if you will, for our reading this morning in Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, we are combining again our reading and our sermon together today with our new schedule or order of services. Once you find Habakkuk chapter 3, if you're willing and able to this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the sermon this morning as well. Afterwards, our reading. Habakkuk in chapter 3, very short book. Only three chapters there. Very powerful book, though. Many wonderful truths are found within the prophecy of Habakkuk. In chapter 3 and in verse 2, the Bible says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity and time you've given us to be together today. We ask that you would bless the message, dear Lord, to the hearts of the hearers. We pray that you take your word, Lord, and make a difference in our life. And I pray, dear God, if there be one soul, either through the internet, Lord, or present today, who is uncertain of eternal security, as we know time is drawing ever so nigh, I pray that they would make a wonderful decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In His name we ask these things this morning. Amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. I did a devotion from this portion of Scripture here a week or so ago, and did it from the car, if I remember correctly, but I've always felt that Habakkuk chapter 3 speaks volumes in many, many ways. It's a chapter that is loaded with truth. The three chapters of Habakkuk is loaded with amazing truth. And we see the example in verse 2 of hearing from the Lord, of which reveals in order to hear, we must listen. Some people hear, but they don't listen. And in this verse, we find a healthy fear of the Lord, which in turn produces a heart, really a heart's desire, if you will, for revival and for the work of God to be made known in and throughout the world. We also find a preparation for wrath, if you will, or judgment of God upon a nation, upon a people for turning their back upon Him. But yet we find here in this very same verse, all of that mixed multitude of words and topics and ideas and powerful statements, we find a plea to the Lord to remember mercy. Mercy, guys. Have you ever seriously considered in your life what is mercy? Mercy, beloved, is an entity, if you will. We all enjoy to partake in. Everyone here, everyone present this morning, loves the idea of what mercy is. You love mercy in your life, but if we are honest with one another, we rarely practice it in our thoughts and actions. The psalmist repeatedly praised the Most High by saying, His mercy endureth forever. Beloved, I need to tell you this morning, that there is great benefit in exercising mercy. Proverbs 11:17 tells us, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. Not only is there a benefit, but there is great blessedness in exercising mercy. Proverbs 14:21 says, He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Jesus Christ even said in His Sermon on the Mount, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I mean, wouldn't you agree with me this morning that it is an outright shame to go through life with a petty, insignificant, menial grudge in your heart? A grudge against someone? I mean, beloved, it develops bitterness in your life, and bitterness is likened unto drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. I mean, don't you know it's better to have mercy on a soul just as Jesus Christ had mercy on our soul? Not only is there benefit and blessedness, but guys, there is beauty in exercising mercy. Second Chronicles 20:21 says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Mercy is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's so easy for us to sit upon the throne of our eternal security with our feet resting on the stool of liberty and forget that benefit, that blessedness, and that beauty of, this greatest attribute called mercy. But again, I ask you this question. What is mercy? I mean, to you this morning, what is mercy? Personally to you, what is mercy? In your family, what is mercy? In your actions, your words, your deeds, and everything that you may consider each and every day, what is mercy? Our very salvation, my friend, is dependent upon the principal application of mercy. Without mercy today, salvation as we know it would not exist whatsoever. Ephesians in chapter 2. By the way, just to give you a heads up, guys, you're only going to turn one time this morning. It'll be at the close of the sermon, all right? But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, read these verses from the screen and read them with me. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Read verse 4 again. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Guys, the prerequisite for all of the verses that we read, verses 5 through 9, of which no doubt every soul in here this morning who believes in salvation by grace through faith and believes that it is a gift of God have either committed those verses to heart, you know them upon, you may even have them upon your house somewhere written down, but the very requisite that we find prior to that salvation verses says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." His richness in mercy leads to his grace, which through faith enables the soul to be forgiven unto salvation. Webster defines mercy as benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The simple definition of mercy, guys, is to not receive that which you deserve. By transgression, mankind fell. Yet through love, God had mercy on his creation. Beloved, I need to say this to you this morning, that God has given us such a wonderful example to follow in exercising mercy in our life. The first thing that we see is that the mercy of our Lord is first magnified. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Aren't you thankful this morning that his mercy is magnified in our life, that it endureth forever, that there's not a limitation to his mercy? Psalm 115, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." The name of God is connected to mercy. Yet Paul writes in Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also highly exalted him and give him a name which is above every name." His name is exalted. His name is magnified. But his name is magnified through mercy. His name is linked through mercy. For his mercy endureth forever. Salvation is eternal, guys, because, not because of our faith, not because of our feelings, not because of our flesh, not because of anything that we can do. Salvation is eternal. It is a permanent entity in your life today solely because of the mercies of God. These people in this world today who think they can work their way to heaven or they can lose their salvation, they believe strictly that it's all up to them and by them. And when they get to heaven, they get to put one arm around Jesus Christ and take the other arm and almost break it, patting themselves on the back. I'll say this to you this morning, that will never happen. It is God's mercy today that endureth forever, and it is God's mercy that brings eternal life into our souls today. Nothing we have ever done or will do. God's mercy is magnified. Friend, not only is God's mercy magnified, but it is manifested. Manifested simply means plain, open, clearly visible to the eye, or obvious to the understanding. Beloved, God's mercy is manifest. God's mercy is manifested, number one, in the sinner. The sinner. Psalm 32, verse 5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Guys, repentance. With repentance, mercy is found. Without prejudice, it is found in mankind's life. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What a beautiful picture of the manifestation of mercy that it is upon the sinner. You say, preacher, who's the sinner? Every last human being that's ever been conceived into this world is the sinner. Amen. You were born a sinner. Amen. We have transgressed the law of God. And even though we may not have committed the similitude after Adam, we are all sinners. The Bible says all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So, His mercy is manifested in the sinner. Secondly, His mercy is long-suffering. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, notice that word is plural, fail not. Now, this is not the time nor the place for me to expound on that pluralization of the words of the compassions. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing right now. Number one, if you're ever reading a book that calls itself a Bible and you get into Lamentations 3, verse 22, and number one, if they singularize that word and make it compassion, they're wrong, throw it in the rubbish bin. Number two, if they remove that word compassion, if it ain't a King James, throw it in the rubbish bin. Let me just make it very clear today, amen? But the pluralization of that word means he has a multitude, okay, if you will, of compassions, many compassions in our life. And it's all because of His mercy being long suffering. Now, guys, I'm 50 years old. Some of you are older than me, some of you are younger than me, but everybody in this room this morning has experienced the long suffering of God's mercy. Aren't you thankful today for the long suffering of God's mercy? You know, guys, I find that as we get a few years of salvation, a few years of living right and serving God, and a few years of those things in our life, and then all of a sudden, we begin to look at people who are not quite where they should be, probably where we were the week before, and we start to look at them and like, you need to get right right now. And we expect them to turn around in a day or a week or a month's time of what took us a decade to get to. But as that time moves forward and moves on, we begin to see the long-suffering of God much more prevalent in our life. The more gray we get on our life, the more time and years you begin to serve God, and those have been in the ministry for multiple decades and preached and pastored in many different places, that long-suffering of God becomes more visible in your life. It becomes more understandable. It's a manifestation of God's mercy, my friend. Thirdly, we find that His mercy is manifested among the sickly. Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. Fourthly, we find that His mercy is manifested in the Savior. Now, the proclamation in Luke 1, verses 76 through 78 says, And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. John the Baptist prepared the way of the Savior by sending the blessed Savior, the Redeemer of mankind. Mercy is manifested. So we see mercy manifested in the Savior, in the sickly, the long-suffering. We see this mercy being manifested, guys, in our life and just before in the sinner's days. But lastly, in this point, we find that mercy is manifested within salvation. This is a bit of a repeat from what we had said, but in Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Again, it's not what I have done. It's not what we have done. Our coming to Christ is not a favor to God. We're not giving anything to the Lord. We're not giving Him some great gift of our spiritual presence, but rather the gift is all ours. Mercy is seen in salvation, 100% ours. Mercy is manifested in the life of the sinner through Christ's long-suffering, for the sickly, by the Savior, unto salvation. And by the manifestation of mercy, it, being mercy, is magnified, if you will. It's magnified, yet there's even more layers to mercy as we begin to peel this onion back, if you will. We must understand, within the magnification and within the manifestation, mercy, number three, is manifold. Simply put, the word manifold just means many in number. It means many in number. I don't know about you, but my transgressions were many in number. And I'm thankful today that His mercy is many in number as well. Amen. Nehemiah 9:27 says, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to the manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Beloved, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, even if they are a result of God's chastening hand in your life, He will still hear you. According to His manifold mercies. According to His mercies that are many in number. For His mercies endureth forever. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 32 says, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. Beloved, the greatest gift given to mankind, the most wonderful gift given to mankind is, yes, it is the Savior. And the Savior comes by way of the mercies of God. And His mercies, my friend, they are many in number. They are manifold, if you will. So in addressing this question, trying to answer the question of what is mercy, you know what we end up finding? I looked at this question. I studied this question. I tried my best to come up with an answer that was so clear-cut, so self-evident, so pure, so perfect, so simple. And I begin to find that not only the answer, but the question itself is inexhaustible. You cannot exhaust the question trying to find the answer of what is mercy. It is inexhaustible in substance. It is inexhaustible in synergy. It is inexhaustible in its sufficiency. Oh, what a beautiful thing that we look at as mercy this morning. Mercy is magnified in our Lord. Mercy is manifested in Christ's love. Mercy is manifold in length of days. Lastly, this morning, and this is what I'm going to ask you to turn. By no means is it the least or the limit to answering the question, but mercy is new every morning. Look at Lamentations 3 with me. Lamentations in chapter 3. Mercy is new every single morning. So what is mercy in our life today? It is amazing. What is mercy in our life today? It is beautiful. It is a blessedness. It is a benefit to our days. Beloved, we find out that it's new every single morning. Lamentations in chapter 3. Look with me in two verses, verses 22 and 23 this morning. Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Hence its name, Lamentations. Lamentations in chapter 3, verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Watch this. Great is thy faithfulness. Can I say this to you this morning, guys? And I want to say this to make it clear today. It is not our faithfulness today that secures or bonds God's mercy to us. Now, that does not give us a license to be unfaithful. It does not give us a justification to have a lack of faithfulness in our life. You will reap what you sow. That is the bottom line. But I will tell you this, when it comes to the mercies of God today, they are new every morning. His compassions are plural. His mercy is new every single morning. And every morning we see that sun break the horizon. It is provided to us by the mercy of the Lord. His mercy truly endureth forever. And beloved, it's a beautiful thing to know that should we awake in the morning, it'll simply be because of God's mercy, not our faithfulness, not our works, not what we have done or have not done. But we will crawl out of that bed, maybe sore, maybe not. We will open our eyes, maybe alert, maybe halfway. And we will do so because the ever-enduring mercy of God. His mercy never runs out. His mercy continues to give each day and each night. So within the benefits, within the blessedness, and within the beauty of exercise and mercy, we as the children of God ought to operate more like the Father. We claim. We ought to have more of the traits and the attributes that the Father, that we say is ours, has exercised in our life. The greatest example of mercy is displayed by our Savior. And again, we as believers in Christ should exercise this same mercy shown by the Savior unto believing, unto the backslidden, and even the benevolent. No one should be exempt from the mercy set forth by the Almighty, yet too often, the very thing we come to enjoy the most, we share the least. So, beloved, in closing this morning, in the Sermon on the Mount, right above the mercies that Christ spoke about, He mentions hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So I ask you this question this morning. Do you thirst after righteousness? Do you hunger after righteousness? And you say, why in the world, why does Christ use those, why does He use a physical illustration to tie into a spiritual manifestation? This is why. Everything that we do, guys, in the spirit will be revealed in the flesh. If you are thirsting after righteousness in your life spiritually, they are going to be manifested in your life physically. If you are hungering after a righteousness in the spiritual, they will be manifested again in the physical. And there's one thing that a hungry man has on his mind. One thing. Food. Nothing else. A hungry man is a single-minded man, not a double-minded man. He has one thought, and that is to be filled by food. So I ask you this morning when we're on this topic of mercy. When you come to the house of God, do you have one thing in mind? To be filled with the Word of God? Today we spoke about mercy. If you came thirsty this morning, I pray to God that you were quenched. If you came hungry this morning, I pray that you were filled. But my friend, you will never be filled with mercy in this life today and therefore exercise that. You will never be filled by the Word of God if you're already filled by bitterness, wrath, and anger. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us in verse 17 through 19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth all understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So what is mercy this morning to you? I hope mercy is personal. So what is mercy to you this morning? I hope that it's powerful. What is mercy to you this morning? Guys, you know what I hope it is? I hope it is practiced in your life. Because God Almighty, the Creator of all things, sent His only begotten Son, the Savior of mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom John the Baptist looked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He sent Him to exercise His inexhaustible mercy in our life. And my friend, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's sometimes nigh unto impossible. But I tell you what, if God Almighty, our Lord and Savior, could go through what He went through in agonizing pain and death and rejection from His own people, simply to exercise a mercy that is new every morning, simply to bring forth a mercy that is magnified, that is manifold, and is manifested. If He can do that in our life and for our life, I think the reasonable thing that we can do this morning is exercise mercy in the life of others. Maybe you're here today and you need to exercise mercy in your own life. Maybe you're listening online or in some other venue and you've yet to exercise mercy in your own life. Beloved, one of the greatest drawbacks in our life today is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing Him to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and yet never forgiving ourselves. Never forgiving ourselves of what we have done. Never of accepting the forgiveness that Christ has already given. Not accepting Him as Savior. Not confessing Him as Lord and Savior. Not believing on the death, burial, and resurrection. Hey, I'm not saying that. You can get saved, but you can still harbor the bitterness, if not for others, but toward yourself. And when you harbor bitterness and wrath and anger toward yourself, you'll never be able to exercise mercy in the life of others. So God has spoken to your heart this morning in such a way, and you're here this morning and your days maybe have been filled with darkness and depression and despair. Maybe you're here today and you just can't get past that one thing that you did years ago, last week, maybe this morning. Just as God exercised mercy in your life, and just like you are going to exercise mercy in the lives of others, would you exercise mercy here and now toward yourself? Will you bow your heads with me just for a moment here this morning? Just bow your heads. Wherever you are in your life today, wherever you are in your Christian race this morning, before we close this sermon out in prayer, I'm simply going to ask you today to search your heart as to whether or not you have exercised that mercy that we've spoken of today, that mercy that is manifold, that mercy that is magnified, that mercy that is manifest, that mercy that is new every single morning, and God bestows it upon you every single day. Have you, in turn, put the mercy on yourself? Are you living under the bondage of something from yesterday? May I encourage you to put it in the rear view and leave it there? Are you living under the weight this morning of something you said, did, or visited, or whatever it may be today? Would you have mercy in your own life today and ask the Lord forgiveness and leave it at the altar of God and say, I'm done with all that? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're online watching today. If you've never made a public profession of eternal salvation, this will be your opportunity and time to come before the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the free pardon of sin by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing on the death, burial, and resurrection unto salvation. For God's mercies are new every morning. Father in heaven, we come before You. We thank You today, dear Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together one with another. And I pray this morning that You would take this message, that You would write it upon the table of our hearts. And Lord, we would not soon, Lord God, put away the mercy that You have bestowed upon us, that we would exercise it in the lives of those that are around us. We would exemplify it, Father, in the steps that we take every single day, that we would be excited every morning when we find that merciful morning break. If You've given us another gift of a life lived down here for You. So, Lord, we give You honor, glory, and praise. We thank You for the morning. We ask You to bless the rest of the day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. I hope and pray that God was good to you in the teaching and preaching of His words this morning. I'm going to ask you to grab a blue hymnal today, or a hymnal, it may not be blue, sorry. Turn to our closing hymn of the morning, Psalm 249, Heaven Came Down. heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Stand as we sing this morning this beautiful, beautiful hymn.